Okay, we are continuing on with SQL, and where I left off last week was in more SQL right before we got to groups. So if you will open my, that one, the more SQL. So, I'm going to start with the one that is apparently page 4-5, the bottom of page 4, the beginning of page 5 on that handout. So that is the beginning of saying I want to process all of the records together and come up with one result. All of the other things that we've looked at so far in SQL have been processing each record individually. And then this one comes along and it says give me the average, and it gives me the average from all of the records because I'm not specifying any group of records. I'm getting the average from all the records. And then if you look down, I'm getting the number of credits, the count, and the maximum. Okay, so I can use those functions, and those are called group functions, and I can use those group functions to get totals and things like that. Okay? So then we move on, and not quite sure the order of why I put that here, but we now have the select now, which gets me the date from the table. And notice that gets it for every single record. So now we're back to processing every record, which is the default. Then on the next one I said, okay, give me the name, and now we're getting into functions again. This length is a function, and it's telling me how long the name is, but it's not a group function. It's a function that is acting on individual records. So it's telling me the length of each of the names. Okay, so it's counting how many characters there are and giving me that count. Okay. So now I've come down here and I'm doing a group by. So I want the group now not to be all of the records on the table. I want the group to be a group by major. So I'm saying, okay, I've got majors on here, and I've got two majors, CI and BU. And so I'm saying, I want you to group by major. And I want you to show me the major and the count of how many of those majors that we have. Okay, so apparently when I did this, I had 5 CI majors and 1 BU major. Okay, I think I've added one here. So now if I go in and do it, I get select major and then count of major from other table. And okay. That's interesting because I claim I've got 2 that say BU. Oh, I didn't write the group by. There is the little group by, which I didn't write. Which is actually, this is kind of good that it came out. I forgot to put in the group by. And so I said, do a count of the major, and it did a count. And I then said, show me the major field, and it just randomly picks one to show me. So it's not necessarily telling me anything because I said I didn't put any grouping in here, and so it didn't form them into groups. So it just gave me a count of all of the records and picked CI, because that was probably the first record that they counted. Okay, now I'll put in the group by clause, which is what I meant to do in the first place, and I wasn't paying attention. So I'm going to put that in and then add the group by major. And now I'm getting the right thing, and I said group by major. Now the rule is that if I'm doing a group by major, then that means that it knows either CI or BU, because those are the only two that I have. So it is legitimate to take this major and show it over there, okay? Because I am grouping by it. So anything that is in my group by clause, it's legitimate to say, show me that field. Okay? It wasn't legitimate when I said, show me a field, and I was grouping by the entire table. Okay, now if I come down here and I change this, and I say, okay, I'm going to say select major, and then I'm going to say name, and then count of major. Okay, so I put name in there. And notice it gave me a name. Okay, so it gave me, if we look at this, okay, the first BU was Mabel Jones, and the first CI was Susan Ash, and so it gave me the first name. And depending on how you got them sorted, you may not get the first name. But what you're getting there is worthless, because there are, in fact, five CI majors. I'm just randomly getting one. I'm just getting one. So that's why they say, if you're doing a group by, then you can show that field that you're grouping by in the select, but you shouldn't show another field, because I'm not grouping by name, so it's just giving me a name, and it's really giving me false information. Oracle won't let you do this. Oracle would give you an error if you tried to put name up there. But MySQL lets it happen. But what you're ending up giving is worthless information, and in fact, deceptive information. Because I get the impression that all of the CI majors are named Susan Ash. Okay? So you're getting deceptive information, not just information that doesn't work. Okay. So the rule is that when you are doing the group by, the only fields that you should show up there are the fields that you have chosen to use in the group by. Those are the only fields you should show. And then you can go up there and put in all of the group functions, again, though, for that field. Okay? So I'm doing a showing the major, showing the count of the major. Okay? Now, I've got two things that I can do when I've got groups. One of them is what I put up above, and I said select the major and the count of the major, group by major, and then I said I'll put a having clause in there. And I can do a variety of havings, so I can say on this one, Okay, so I've got the same thing, select major, count of major, group by, and then I can say having major equal to CI. And then I only see the CI. Okay, so I put in having and I only see the CI. So what I have is I've got two clauses, and the having acts on groups after they have been formed. Okay, so it acts on groups after they've been formed. So I went in here and I made the group, and then I said, okay, now I've got the groups, and we can see, because I did the same thing up here, these are the groups. But now I'm saying, okay, but only show me the ones having the major equal CI. And if I wanted multiples, I could have, if I had a whole lot there, I could say equal CI or EN or something like that. Or I could use the IN clause and list a bunch of majors that I want. Or I could say having major not equal to BU, and that would get rid of groups at that point. So having acts on groups after they've been formed, where, which I've got down here, eliminates as they're being formed. So if I want to eliminate certain records while I'm forming the group, I use the where clause. And then once the groups have been formed, I use the having clause to eliminate groups at that point. Eliminate or keep these, basically. Okay. So in the where clause that I have down there, I said where the number of credits is greater than 20. Okay, so I can do that by itself. So I can say in here, select major, count major, from other table. Okay, so you can, so it shows up. From other table where num credits is greater than 20. And then group by major. Okay, so I'm down to 3 in the CI, because if you look up at the table, okay, I said I wanted greater than 20, number of credits greater than 20. So Susan Ash didn't come, Linda French did, and David Koster, and keep going, Bob Hill, Lee Adams didn't. So I'm down to 3 CIs that show up, because the where eliminated anything that didn't have a number of credits greater than 20. Okay, so that eliminates records as they're being formed, as the group is being formed. Any record that has number of credits greater than 20 is not going to be part of the group. So it's eliminating it as the groups are being formed. And then if I go in and add on this, and say having major equal to CI is what I did before. So now I'm down to getting rid of the BU. Okay, so I got rid of a lot of records in the CI, and now I've said only show me the major CI. And so now that's all I've seen. So the where eliminates as I'm forming, and the having eliminates after they've been formed. Questions. So again, SQL proudly talks about the fact that there are very few commands, and they're right. But there are a gazillion clauses that we put in here. So we've now got group by, wheres, and havings all going in and making a big impact on the select statement. So the select statement itself has just a load of clauses that you can put in. Okay. And on the handout that I gave you, I was testing not for CI, but I was doing the grouping test of the sum number of credits greater than 50. So I only wanted to see groups that had the sum of the number of credits greater than 50, which meant I was just seeing CI, because BU didn't have the sum number of credits greater than 50. Okay. Questions? Okay. The next one gets into substring, and there's two ways of doing it, and actually you can write SUB, SDR, which we'll see later on. But substring goes in, and every language that I know has a substring. When I first learned to program, they didn't have something like this. And so we had to set up an array, take the name, set it up as an array with each element only one character, and then step through the array and grab the third and fourth characters. Okay, so it was a far more complicated world. Now they have given us this substring. And the substring is, I can say, I want to go to the name, I want to go to the third character, and I want to take four. So I'm going to the third character, and I am taking four. Now the thing you have to check is, when you look at any of these, is the third character really the second character? Because is the three a count, one, two, three, or is it an index 0, 1, 2? Okay? And if you look at this, it's going in and it's saying go to the third character, so in fact it is going to the third, and then taking 4. And if you come down to Bob Hill, it goes to the third, it's B, the space, and the H, and the I. So it's taking 4 characters. Okay? So this lets you go in and grab characters. And one of the major reasons you do this is that you want to get certain characters out of a field to use as part of a code. That's one reason to do it. And lots of times you have the name put in as Ash slash Susan and you want to flip it to Susan space Ash. And so you have to go in and be able to grab the characters and manipulate them. Okay. So substring can also be written as name, go into name, comma, start with 3, and take 4 characters. Okay. If you go in and I say select name substring. string name. I'm trying to remember what I was going to do. Oh, free from other table. Okay. Cannot, the program is probably the table. Huh? What?
You have a sus string.
Sub, yes.
Sub string.
Yes.
Interesting error.
Oh, no, right. It is. It is. Yeah. Hello? And I flunked fifth grade spelling, as I keep telling people, so there's no hope for me. Notice when I didn't put the four in, which is what I was trying to illustrate, when I didn't put the four in, it goes to the end. And it takes all of the characters from the point that I said go to the third and goes and takes all the characters to the end. So if you don't say how many characters to take, it takes the number of characters to the end. Okay. And if I say select name, notice I can write substring as substr. Okay, so I can write it, and that's the way I usually write it. And in fact, most languages use substr as opposed to writing out the entire word. So you can do that with substring as well. Okay, the next one is instring. So I am looking for a decimal point in this. So I'm looking for a decimal point, and obviously I pick GPA, so it's always in the second character. Okay, so not a terribly great example. In the next one, I look for a space in the name. So I said select name, and then I said tell me where the space is. And so I said I want to know instring name, comma, and I put in a space. And so it's telling me where the space is. And again, notice that it's doing it on a count basis of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you are going to be given the assignment that I give in every single one of my classes with substring and instring, because it's a very practical one. And if you've done it once, then you get to see how it works in other languages. If you haven't done it once, you get to struggle. Okay? So I'm going to say set up a table with the name Doe/John. Okay? And I want you to flip it so that you have John space Doe. And if there's a middle initial, I want the middle initial to go along with it too.
I did this, I just looked up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. As I said, I give this in every language class because it's a little bit different from language to language, how you do it. But it is a very practical thing because a lot of names are stored that way. And you have to get to the first name for some reason, get to just the last name for some reason, flip them for some reason. So it's a good thing to know how to do. So what you're going to do there is we're using both the instring and the substring, because the instring can be used to find the slash, and the slash is the divider. So I can find the instring using the slash. And then I can use the substring. Go away. I can use the substring. Good, they went away. Wasn't that nice?
Doesn't usually work.
And then I can use the substring. So notice up here that I have name and then I have two numbers after it. Well, those two numbers don't have to be numbers. They can be a variable name. They can be a name of something. Or they can be an instruction. So if I want to find not the third character, but if I want to find a slash, I can put the instruction in there instead of the three. So I can put actually a function within a function. Are they going to keep ringing? Okay. So I can use the in string in one of those spots to find it. Now, where does, if I tell you to flip this name, how do you find where the first name begins? Oh, come on.
One character after the
slash. That's right, one character after the slash. Okay? There's the slash, it begins one character after the slash. And I remember I told you with substring you can go all the way to the end without, if you don't put in the second character, so you can get first name, middle name, whatever is up there, you can get it all. Now, to clarify this, you should define this field as a varchar, not as a character. Because if you define it as a character field, then the spaces are treated like characters. And if you treat it like a varchar, all the spaces after John, just the end of that field is the end of John. If I have John C, then the end of the C, the point of the C would be the end. Okay? Characters that come after it, spaces that come after it don't count. And then where does the last name begin? It's 0 or 1, depending on what you're doing, and this appears to be 1. So it appears on this, and where does the last name end?
I'm going to say 4.
Yeah, but Smith wouldn't work that way, so no, it doesn't end in 4. Oh. But use the slash. That's what the slash is there for. It's the location of the slash minus 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I remember a minus 1 in my
right
program.
So it's the location of the slash, and then the name, the last name ends right before the slash. So if the slash is in 4, the last name ends in 3. Okay? And the first name begins in the position after the slash. Okay, so one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is to set up and do a name flip. Put in a name and do the name flip. Okay, so I'm not asking you to do it now because I think it takes more thought than I that, but that's going to be one of your homework assignments. Okay. So, let's see what comes next. Okay, mod. Okay. Mod is going in and it says select the name, the number of credits. Mod number of credits, comma 2. Okay. So, and this one is mod number of credits, comma 5. The same thing, but I'm just doing a 5. Okay. So this one says number of credits, which for Susan Ash is 15, divide by 2, I get 1 as my remainder. Same with 27. Down here, if I take Susan Ash is 15, divide by 5, I get 3 with a remainder of 0. Okay? So mod is giving you the remainder. That's what mod does. is it does a divide and gives you the remainder. So 27 divided by 5 is 5 with a remainder of 2. 36 divided by 5 is 7 with a remainder of 1. 30 divided by 5 is 6 with a remainder of 0. So that's what mod does for you. And in this one, I said I wanted to format it with 2 decimal places. So I've got my number of credits formatted with 2 decimal places. Then limit 3 means show me 3, but don't show me any more. So show me the first 3 records. And I have no idea why I have that there twice. Does anybody see anything different? I can't see anything different at all. Okay, and then the last one is create a backup. You should do this as soon as you make a table, because if you lose it, you're going to not be happy. So I always say create table, other table too. So I have an other table that I'm going to use, and I'm saying create a table named other table too. Okay? And then I said as, select asterisks from other table. And so it makes a copy of it. So if I say over here, create table, other table BK for backup, as select asterisks from other table. Okay. I'm going to have now, I can do a select asterisk from other table BK, and I've got the same table. So this means that if I end up messing up the table that I'm working with and somehow messing it up, then I've got a backup of the table that I've created. And I can use that backup. Okay, but that gives me a copy of it so that after I've made the table, if I mess it up, I don't lose it. You know, for example, if you do an update and you forget the where clause and say, change all names to Susan Ash, you would end up with every record having a Susan Ash on it. If you've got the backup, you can go back. Yeah.
I tried doing what you did before, the make copy of the table, and it gives me an error.
Do you have the table?
I have other table.
You have other table?
Yeah.
Huh. And you wrote create table, other table, some other name.
Yeah, I put create other table too.
And
select asterisk from other
table. And it came back and said.
Oh,
you don't have create table.
Oh.
Create table. Other table. Okay. Sills class is really sounding interesting today. He's quite excited about something. Okay. You're missing out on the experience. So that finishes that particular handout, okay? And as I said, we're doing a kind of quick No, I don't want to cancel that. We're doing kind of a quick look at this. If you take the Oracle class, we go far deeper into SQL, but some of this is the same. And so some of it you will definitely find a rerun, because obviously the create a backup and everything like that. But we just explore it a little bit more in the Oracle class. Okay, so the next one that we're going to look at is keys and indexes. So open that one. Okay, this one is doing just what it says. It's going in and creating a key and creating an index. And I'm not spending a lot of time on it. We're just doing the kind of straightforward stuff and not getting into some of the other things that you can get into, like foreign keys and all the rest of it. So what a key is it is a primary key. And if you saw access, you saw a primary key on all of the records. Usually it's an ID number that is the primary key. But the purpose of a primary key is to uniquely define a record so that you have a way of getting at every record. And the key is that way of doing it. Frequently, the key is an ID number. Okay, that's why you are littered with ID numbers. Your driver's license is an ID number. The school is an ID number. Way back when, all of those were Social Security numbers. Even though it was illegal, they still did it that way. Okay, and then somebody said, no, no, this is against the law. You've got to actually do it the right way. And so now you own umpteen different ID numbers that you can't possibly remember. So in this one, I had created a table, and I have ID number, name, department, salary. Okay, so those are the fields that I set up, and this time I use decimal for salary. I've used other things. And I said, okay, now insert into, so I created a table and selected it. And then I said, okay, now I want to add a primary key. And it's the ID that's unique. So I said, alter the table without key, add primary key ID number. Okay, so I have made a ID. So on this one, on what I did, I actually made a copy. So it's other table two, right? Select asterisk from other table two. Okay, so other table two is a copy of what I've got there. So, well, that's not what I wanted, but that will... So now what I want to do is go in and do this add primary key that is down at the bottom there. So I'm going to say alter table. Okay, and we saw this alter table before. Alter table is how I can change the structure of the table. So I can add a column to the table, I can change the size of it, and I can also add a primary key. So alter table lets me change the primary key, the structure of the table, in this case using a primary key. So I'm going to use other table 2, and I think I actually spelled it right, add primary key, and my primary key is ID number. Okay. So I now have a primary key on there. And if I do a DESC of other table 2, okay, it now is telling me that I have a primary key and that it can't be null. Okay, the primary key cannot be null. So I cannot create a record that does not have an entry in the primary key field. So that's how I make a primary key. And it is obvious that it would be best to make a primary key when you make it for a table. Okay? Now, lots of times people will go ahead and just fill in the table and make the table and then go in and alter the primary and put in the primary key. Okay. So that was adding a primary key. Now, here's how you can add an index, okay? What an index is it is a way that the database will be organized behind the scenes. So my example always is when I call the doctor's office and want to make an appointment, they ask me for my hospital number. And I tell them I don't know. And so then they ask me for my name. And that means they're going to go in and look at my name. So I'm sure a lot of people do that. And so therefore there's lots of times when they have to go in and look up my name. So if they make an index on the name, it's going to be much more efficient to look it up. Now, you don't want to index everything because that means they have to carry kind of a different method of getting at it, a different sorted thing. A simplistic approach would be that they would have a copy of the names and they would point to a particular ID and the names would be in order, so you could look it up in the name thing that's in order. Okay, and when you're doing a search on something that's in order, you don't have to go 1, 2, 3, you can go into the middle record. And once you've said, is it higher or lower than the middle record, you've eliminated half the records. And then you go into the middle of what's left, and you've now gotten rid of the three quarters of the records. That's a very simplistic algorithm. And the guys that make the big bucks have very sophisticated algorithms, okay, that they're not telling what they are. But essentially, that's what an index is it sets it up so you can go in and yet a field sought and say, I want a particular thing. I want a particular department. I want a particular name. Okay. And so if I make an index on name, for example, so if I come in here and say, create an index, okay, so I'm saying create index, and I'll call this index, I called it an X because I just do that, index name on other table 2 name. Okay, so I've now created an index on the name. And if I do a DESC of other table 2, I now have the index, and it puts an MUL in there, and I can't remember what that MUL stands for, but that tells you that it's got an index on it. Okay. So I now have index. Now that doesn't mean it can't be null. It can be. There's ways, and again, we're only going into this briefly, but there are ways you can go in and set up all the fields when you're setting up the table and ask them not to be null and all of that. But again, we're spending 2 weeks on this, so we're doing the keep it simple approach. So that's how you can make an index. Now, here's how you can drop the index and how you can drop the primary key. So if you decide, no, I really don't want that index, you can go in with the alter and do a drop. And if you're dropping an index, you say drop index and you tell it which one. And if you're dropping a primary key, you just have to say drop primary key. So if you want to get rid of the index or get rid of the primary key, you can go in and do it using the alter and using the drop. Basically, if you create something, you have to know how to get rid of it. Okay, now, if I have let me see if I remember all the fields. Let's say I have a donor table, a donation table, and a drive table. And those are, I'm looking for contributions to whatever it is that I want contributions to. So over here under the donor, I'm going to have an ID number, and that's going to be my primary key. And then I'm going to have a name, and then I'm going to have other information that I want to have about the donor. Okay, the drives are things that I keep track of. So I have my spring drive, and I have my whatever drive, and whatever drive, when I try to get people to give me money. So I have my drive number here, and that's my primary key. And then I have the drive name, and maybe the goal of what I want to achieve with that drive, and whatever else I want to have. Okay. Then I want to keep track of donations, and I've decided that I want to know what drive the person gave the donation to. So I'm saying on the donation, I'm going to have the donor's ID number. But I can't use that as the primary key because I want them to give more than once. And if the ID number is the primary key, then I can't put in a second donation from somebody because I've already used the ID number. I want to keep track of what drive they gave me, so I want the drive number. But even then, I can't use those two combined to be my primary key, because I would love to have them give twice to my drive. So ID number and drive, I would love to get two donations from the same person to the same drive. Okay, so that's not going to work. So what I can do then is add another field, the date, and that can include the time. Because date can include time. So I've got my date field. And at that point, especially if I'm down to time, I can't do the data entry fast enough to get two that are going to be a duplicate. So that's a unique. Okay. So what I need then is the amount of the donation. Okay, so I need the amount of the donation. So what this does is I've got this data, and I look at it and say, these three things together are going to be the primary key. Now I could have decided not to use drive number, and then it would have just been ID and date. But I used a drive number in the example, so I wanted to stick with that. So those are the primary key that uniquely identify the person. If I know their ID number, the drive they got, or uniquely define the donation, sorry. They uniquely define the donation. So if I know the ID number, the drive number, and the date and time, that's the unique key. Okay, that means that the person can give donations left and right, and I can put them all up there, and they'll all have a unique key. Now, the rules about doing this also state that the fields on this, the fields on this table, all have to relate to the each pot. Okay, so the amount is the amount that a person gave. The amount is the amount the person gave to the drive, and the amount is the amount the person gave to the ID and the drive on that particular date. So it relates to all three pots, and I need all three pots to know what the amount is, because they might have given $100 one day to a particular drive and $120 the next day to the particular drive. So that gives me a multi-part primary key. And because I have a multi-part primary key, okay, I then come in and I am going to look at what I had up here, and I said, okay, so all to the table, three-pot key, which has an ID number, a drive number, date, and an amount. And I said, add the primary key, and I put all three of the fields in parentheses with comma separators. Then when I went in and did a DESC, I can see that all three of them have PRI in them, which means that they are all considered a primary key. And I don't know why it didn't say that I could have them null, but anyway, I guess they just have the yes if I can. And I can't have those. Okay. So that basically is how I can define a primary key that is made up of multiple fields. Questions. Okay. I want to spend a little more time on relational databases, but we've only got 10 minutes left, so I think I'm going to leave that and do it on Thursday rather than kind of start it and not get very far in it. So we can look at the next handout. And start looking at that. So the next handout is subqueries. And you're probably never going to use these necessarily, but I just wanted to kind of go through it quickly. Yeah. A subquery is a query that gets executed prior to executing another one. That wasn't terribly clear, but anyway. Okay. If you look at this, I said select asterisk from donation where drive number is in. And then I said, okay, select drive number from drive, where drive name equals animal home. So what it's going to do when it does this, and this is the data that I was working with, is it does the inner select first. So it goes in and says, okay, select drive number from the drive table. That's down there. So I want the drive number from the drive table, where the drive name equals animal home. So it says, okay, so what I want is 200, okay? Because if I'm gonna select the drive number from the drive table, where the drive name is equal to animal home, that's gonna return 200, okay? So now I'm saying, select asterisk from the donation table, where the drive number is in. Well, I only have one thing, but I could have if there had been two down there with animal home, I would have gotten two, three. But I've only got one, so I'm now looking for select asterisks from donation where drive number is 200. So that means I'm going to select that one, and I'm going to select that one. Because they both have a drive number of 200. Okay, so in order to get the contributions to animal home, on the donation, I just had the number for animal home. And I don't know the number. But I want all of the donations that were given to animal home. So what I have to do is go to the drive table, find animal home, and then say, oh, that's drive 200. And then go back to the outer select and say, now I know the number for animal home. Give me all of the donations to animal home. Does that make sense? I see a lot of staring going on. So those are the two, if I then show the output from this, the two are in there. There's a bunch of clauses that you can use instead of the in. You can use any, you can use all, you can use the equal sign. If you use the equal sign, then it can only be one thing. And so in this case, it could have been an equal sign because I only returned one thing. In is a safe thing because it allows it to return one or more. So it's kind of a safe one. So here I find that I need to know some information to find out what I really am looking for. And so I use the SEP query to find the information, and then I can go do it. In this particular one, I use two tables. I have the donation table and the drive table. I don't have to do different tables. I can have two ways of looking at something from one table. But frequently it is because you're using two different tables and you need to get a piece of information from one table so that you can then access another table. Okay. Now we will be getting into the fact that I can have multiple tables. And that they can join and how they join and relate, and that I can actually say from and list multiple tables. And if I have the from listing multiple tables, then I have to do a bunch of stuff to get it. So this actually ends up lots of times being easier than using multiple tables. Okay, and then I just step through it down here, what I just did, where I said, okay, so select asterisks where the drive name is animal home, and I got the 200, and then said, okay, and I got the two donations. So that's just stepping you through what I had done up above. Okay, so on this one, my inner one, and I always execute the inner one first, I said select year goal from donor where name is like ash. And remember we looked at this, this means the percent sign here means there can be any number of characters before ash. I've got to have ash, but there's going to be any number of characters. So that would be the kind of thing, I know somebody's last name, but I don't know their first name, so I want to get all of the records with that last name. So I go in, and I am looking for a name like Ash, and I say select a goal from Dona where the name is like Ash, and the year for goal ends up being 50. I'm just looking at that. Select year goal from Dona where name is like Ash. And I don't see Ash there. Am I going crazy?
It's just selecting year goal,
it's selecting year goal from Dona where name is like Ash. So Ash should have been one of these names in here. And I'm looking at this and saying, I either left off a name or I pasted the wrong thing in there and never particularly noticed it before.
If it's greater than, we still see?
No, because I said we're name like Ash. Interesting. I think I just pasted the wrong thing and never noticed it. Okay, because apparently it worked. So either I just pasted the wrong thing because I say select your goal from Dona where your name is like Ash and it comes back with $50. I don't see a $50 in there either. So I messed up. Where is Ash? Oops. Just so people know. Because I don't see I guess I was showing the output, so I guess it's not really oops. I guess I was showing the output because if you keep going and you look at what the final thing produced, it doesn't have Ash in it, and that would be right. So I think I just didn't show the complete database table. Do I have one up here someplace? No, I don't. I should have really just shown the, I was looking for the whole table, but I guess this was just the answer, so it is right. Because the inner one said, select your goal from Dona where name like Ash, and we know it came back with $50. And then I'm saying, okay, now show me the ID, name, year goal, contact from Dona where year goal is greater than $50. And so Ash shouldn't show up there. If I'd said greater than or equal to, then it would. Okay, but the inner one selected 50. So that came back at 50. So then I said, select ID, name, year goal, contact from Dona, where year goal is greater than 50. And so Ash shouldn't show up. So it's correct. I just, for some reason, thought that was the whole database. That's what I wanted it to be. And then show me the answer. Okay, so that actually isn't a whoops. It's just if I'd been clearer and put the whole database in, it would have helped. Okay, so we're done. With 1 minute to spare.